Good morning. When you think of church, what do you think of? Is it a place? Is it people? Is it Jesus, God? Is it Easter, Christmas? Do you think of tabloids, corruption? What do you hear? What does it make you think of? How does it make you feel? How, if at all, has the enemy distorted the image of church for you? Today we're going to look at this exactly, that church is so much more than the definitions this world has given it. We are here together to help each other confront those lies of the devil, the desires that mislead us, and to overcome the influences of this world. So in the last few weeks, Curtis has been talking about the lies of the devil, the desires of the flesh, and the powers of the world. And today we want to talk about the church, how you and me can be part of the solution. How is the church what we need? How does the church act as a resistance to the lies of the devil? So over the last few weeks, I've been mulling over 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, and I'm going to read that again for us. And I'm reading from the ESV version. So it says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into the myths." Paul right here is writing to Timothy words of encouragement, words to persevere, words of instructions. And all of this, Paul desires his brother, Timothy, to keep his eyes on the Lord. And in his ways, in Jesus' ways, and his truths, and ultimately the truth of our homeland. What Paul is doing right here in this is community, is church. We do not know exactly all of the obstacles that Timothy had faced or was going to experience in the future. But Paul knew it was important to send these words to his brother. In community, we learn together how to combat these lies, the lies of the devil, through reading through the scriptures together. We practice discernment together. We invite each other into those places in our lives. By being invested in each other's lives, we learn to confront and forgive and encourage one another. So this is very different from what the world, how the world functions. So I want to share with you how this has played out in my life, so welcome. I struggle with being perfect. I struggle with anxiety. I struggle with my feelings of not feeling good enough. Growing up, I believed my family was perfect. I had a mom, I had a dad, I had a brother, but those relationships didn't work. My parents divorced, and it was a very traumatic experience for me. I felt abandoned, and I felt like it was my fault. I was broken. In that brokenness, I tried to fill it with perfection by trying to be the best daughter I could be. And as I got older, I was taught that I needed to get A's, not B's, but A's in school. If I got less than an A, I felt horrible. And this was only one part of where perfectionism was playing in my life. So a pattern started to grow here, and it wasn't healthy. I felt like failure, that I didn't want to disappoint my father. I didn't want to disappoint my earthly father, and I didn't want to disappoint my heavenly father. I had, and still have, left this place of people-pleasing or perfectionism, whatever you want to call it, to control my life, to have such a hold that it even affects my emotions and it affects my responses. I can say with honesty that I know my father loves me, flaws and all, but he has also shown me that he has given me others, a community, my church family, that is ready to do this life with me together. So that brings us to when I was in Colombia during the pandemic, not very fun, I became depressed. There were many lies being said to me in my head, and they were really hard to fight. It didn't help that I had developed the habit of people-pleasing and perfectionism, so here were the lies. You are a horrible wife. You are not a good mom. You are not a good leader. Why do you think you could mentor or lead anybody? You are not good enough just being Allie. These lies were so loud, and they were very heavy. They affected how I would respond to Alex, my husband, so if you don't know. They would affect how I would respond to my kids, how I would respond to my team, how I would respond to myself. Can I tell you, it is not easy to walk along somebody who's going through things like this. There's no quick fix. I will say it wasn't easy to walk alongside me. You see, I knew the truth. I knew what God was telling me, that I was his daughter, that I am his daughter. And I was trying to hold on to those truths. I knew those truths. But I was doing it by myself. I was giving myself pep talks. Here's the thing. It is when I shared with my teammates, my family there, my family here, and even my family, my church family here, into the, when I invited you guys into those places where I was struggling, where you guys could pray for me, where my team could pray for me, where my teammates could actually just physically lay hands on me, where they could physically give me a hug because I love hugs and I'm a big hugger. Where they could speak the truth into those dark places in my mind. I wasn't feeling alone, but I felt like there was still a battle, but I was being encouraged by who God had been surrounding me with. Just the fact of speaking truth over someone over and over again, I believe is that sort of truth. God is truth, and he was using my brothers and sisters to cut into those lies. Amen. I can tell you, I can't do this life alone. And I would even say that Jesus calls us to not do this life alone. Even to this day, our team, we share where we are at. Sometimes we just share a joke. But we also talk about our needs, our struggles, whether it's like regarding visa issues or whether our friends have enough money for food. We seek together in prayer and encourage one another. We praise God together. Even though we are far apart, we are still doing that. We are ready to hear each other's petitions and prayers. And it also, it's wonderful because even though we're far away, kind of like how Paul and Timothy were here, that we, in these texts that we have in modern technology, it says, you know, that we haven't forgotten you. We haven't forgotten you. The truth is here, we are not alone. The devil tries to alienate us. He tries to utilize those lies to guide our feelings and to lead us away from our community because he doesn't want us to have each other. I, your sister, your friend, I want to tell you right now, you are not alone. You are not less than. You are, as Psalm 139:14 says, you are wonderfully made. God created you with joy, not with sorrow. He had joy when he made you every hair on your head. If you need to hear this today, God created you. He loves you and he sees you, but he does not want you to walk alone. So while I was preparing for this sermon, I asked God whether the church was vital in overcoming the lies of the devil and desires of our flesh and powers of the world. And it made me recall a book I had read a bit ago by Dietrich Bonhoeffer called Life in Community. you haven't read it, I recommend it. And he says in there, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. Whether it be a brief, single encounter or the daily fellowship of years. Christian community is only this. We belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? It means first that a Christian needs others because of Jesus Christ. It means second that a Christian comes to others only through Jesus Christ. It means third that in Jesus Christ we have been chosen from eternity, accepted in time, and united for eternity. I love this very part. It was like united for eternity. We're together forever, guys. So I share this with you because community looks different in different seasons. As Bonhoeffer says, it is by grace that we are able to gather together. Sometimes we're apart. But whether, again, it is for a moment or for years, we get to encourage each other. We get to be church together. So this is an area where I've seen God using each one of you and my teammates speaking truth into my life. This leads to that when we were about to leave for Colombia. This was in 2015. Well, we had planned to leave in 2015, let's say that. We actually left in 2019. We had a group, our church here, praying for us. We had a multitude of people, like Curtis and Jane, Tom and Jeannie, many people. And we had been praying through this for like 4.5 years. We did not plan for that, but that's what it ended up taking. And so we were seeking discernment in that time. A lot of things arose with the organization that what we call red flags for some people maybe. And we weren't sure. For me, it would have honestly been easier to say, no, we should not go. My desire was to serve God, but I was afraid what would be ahead. There's my flesh crying out. I also had some other reasons of why I wanted to stay. So we had Jasmine at the time. Still, you know, she was still like very early. My family was here. My friends were here. My network was here. People spoke English here. I didn't have to learn English. My flesh wanted to be here so bad. And we decided to go. And I have to say that by being in prayer with my brothers and sisters here, it helped us choose what we were going to do. I'm glad we didn't listen to our flesh's desires, and really it was comforts over what God was going to teach us in the next season. That season was a very hard one. I lost my mama, that means grandma in the southern context. I life started cancer in 2020. She was like a second mom. It was one of the hardest times. And then I found out my friend Jeannie had cancer. Every part of me wanted to come home. You see, I knew that wasn't the answer. But it didn't change that every ounce of me longed to be elsewhere. I prayed with Alex, I prayed with our team. I told them where I was hurting, and they prayed. They were there to mourn with me, but they were also helping me intercede for my friend. You see, I had no control, and I wanted to be able to have control over the situation. We were far away, but I knew my family here, here at Discovery, was also praying for me. And we were all praying for our sister Jeannie. I felt so united, honestly. I know it seems weird, but I felt so united. I know the power of prayer is strong, and it was there. I was so moved by how my brothers and sisters were here and there in Colombia were ready to pray. I think of the words of Paul to Timothy saying to be ready in and out of season because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what season we're going to get thrown. But there is power in prayer. And there's power when we're together in prayer. I want to say thank you for your prayers. No matter the distance, I knew you were there with me. And honestly, I know God used those prayers to strengthen me, to help me endure and not to give in to my desires. So thank you. So we're here now. Fast forward to when we moved back to Livermore, which was just last November. A few things happened in March. I started working for Discovery. Yay! And our family also bought a house the same month. So a lot of things are happening. Alex has a good job. But in that time, I started worrying about how we were going to make our payments. We had enough to cover everything. But I was starting to feel like I needed to do more, like I needed more. Find more work to make sure I had cushion. Like, how do I make sure we're okay? How do I make sure we're okay? Well, it was 2 weeks later that I was offered a job from my previous employer. They offered to pay me more, pay for my gas. I could work 3 days a week. Woo-hoo. Sounds awesome, right? It does. But here's the thing. This was a huge distraction for me. Sometimes what may sound like a good thing can be a distraction from what God is actually doing. Anybody else would say, take it, of course. This will allow you to have some cushion. This will take care of everything. Take care of all your worries. But here's the thing. God had already provided exactly what we needed. Alex and I talked about it, you know, because that's what we do. My husband Alex, he would talk about it. We just came to the conclusion together to say no. Here is the thing. The world tries to normalize these types of things. A good thing. This is a good thing. Yes, there are times where God gives these new opportunities. But in talking with Alex as we were talking, I told him, I said, I like what I'm doing at Discovery. I like where God has me. Yes, we would be making less, but we would be okay. I know this other job would make my life easier, per se, in a way. But honestly, for me, it really was a distraction. I don't need to seek ways to make my life easier. Even though that's what the world says is what we should have, is an easy life. That's not what God called us to. But again, it was here just seeing that God has provided what we need right now. And he has the whole time. From when we started looking to go to South America, initially, just South America, to when we came back. You know, he's been in every part of it, and even before that. So we get to, together, practice trusting and walking with our Lord as Savior, as citizens of his kingdom right now. We get to trust him together. We get to have this time. And I want to emphasize get, because we don't have to. It's not forcing you. But we get to have this time now to point to those truths of Jesus and tear down what the world has normalized and say, you know what, actually there is a different way of living that is much more free. Hey, let me introduce you to him. His name is Jesus. We together live with a different value system than what the world says. We need to learn together to be able to name those areas where they're not truth. These areas in our lives aren't the truths. They're the lies of the devil. We need to see, like, look, here is the way. This world doesn't give us life. This world definitely does not give us a kingdom. It doesn't point us to the way. I want to challenge us today, as Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that we would walk in the truth, in the way, and the life together. We have inherited this through Jesus Christ. So, I have a few questions for you. What is God wanting to see in your own life? Where are there places in your life where the devil has made you feel alone? Where can you begin to walk in the Spirit in your life? And third, what is the distraction that is keeping you from living as a citizen of God's kingdom? Today is Pentecost. If you don't know why we're talking about the Holy Spirit, that's why Pentecost. It marks 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We remember that this is when the Holy Spirit descended upon our brothers, the apostles. And honestly, it's super cool. Today's like the church's birthday. My little girl loves birthdays, so she's not listening, but whatever. But we just recognize that the Holy Spirit is here and he dwells among us, and he dwells among us, and we are together. We are here. Church isn't a building. I want to give you that. Church isn't a building. When we talked about the church's foundation is Jesus Christ, he lives and dwells in us. This is the church. No matter where you are, no matter how far your friends are, that we are united for eternity. I want to close with a prayer. So if you'll just close your eyes with me. God, we just want to thank you for the gift of the church. Your Holy Spirit coming to dwell with us. Thank you for dwelling in us and pointing us and continuing to point us to the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to live this life in community for you and your kingdom. And we pray this all to give you all the honor and the glory, Lord. We love you so much. I love my brothers and sisters here. And where we are lacking in our trust in you, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, point us back to you. We love you. And again, we celebrate what you've done many, many years ago today. Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit, for your Son, and for your presence, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen.